The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.
Would you support a mandatory vaccination scheme or a pilot scheme in Ireland? There have been calls for Dublin City Council to implement measures to counteract a measles outbreak in the north inner city. Now, Councillor Eilish Ryan is tabling a motion next month calling on the council to help inform and educate people about the benefits of the measles vaccinations. The HSE says 13 cases of measles have been confirmed in that area of the city since July. And Councillor Ryan says that the council should be leading the way towards a compulsory vaccination programme. I want to know if you agree with that. Do you think we should have a compulsory vaccination programme? Would you support it? Let me know what you think at 53544. This is in relation to the MMR vaccine, of course. And Councillor Eilish Ryan joins me on the air. Good afternoon to you, Eilish. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Look, this conversation comes up on a regular basis. More recently about HPV, about vaccinations and people's theories and thinking on it and their fear of them sometimes as well. The MMR vaccination was badly damaged by Andrew Wakefield going back some time ago, who has been discredited since. I mean, but is it fair to make it mandatory?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is that we're left with very few choices at this point. What we've seen is that because of the decline in vaccination take-up, we're now seeing a rise in infections in a way that hasn't happened in decades. And I think really it's exactly the time for fairly drastic measures that are going to have an impact in the short term.
Mm-hmm. So basically what we want to do is try and increase this herd immunity, which we've had for many years, and we haven't seen these outbreaks. There was one in Cork there about 2 years ago. I think we had one in Limerick recently as well. And now, of course, we have one in Dublin. And for those who don't know, of course, you know, young children, or particularly those with underlying issues, can die of the measles because of the temperature that comes along with it. So it's important. But I suppose, again, parents are saying, well, that's fine. We understand you, Eilish. You're right. And I agree with you, by the way, Eilish. But in saying that, they're going to say, well, what about my rights as a parent to make that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people would recognise that your rights end where your actions are causing damage to other people. And what we need to start convincing people of and having people understand is that choosing not to vaccinate your child does do damage. It's not a neutral thing that only affects you and your child. It's not just that you're taking that risk for your child, you're impacting an awful lot of other people. So that's because when people aren't vaccinated, they can carry illnesses even though they don't get the symptoms or kind of develop the disease themselves. They can carry them and they can infect other people who, for various reasons, either because they're very young or because they're sick, haven't been able to be vaccinated. So I think the justification for having something like a mandatory policy around vaccination is that most people are okay with the idea that the state calls put the limit in place in terms of what parents can choose to do and not do when it actually harms other children.
I mean, in Australia, I know recently they brought in, I suppose, penalties for those who don't get their children vaccinated. They reduce their child benefit by percentages. And more recently, what they're doing is, you know, is it like a tax credit as such has been reduced if you don't get your child vaccinated. Would that be a better idea where you're kind of hitting people a little bit in the pocket, you know, and it encourages them rather than forcing them?
Well, I think the problem with that is that one of the cases where a lot of the kind of anti-vaccination fashion started was in the wealthiest districts of Los Angeles. It became a real kind of fashion amongst celebrities and things like that.
Well, we had Jenny McCarthy running around America,
yeah,
of course, promoting it.
She's a major advocate of it. And I think one of the problems is that if you introduce a kind of a measure, as you say, to hit somebody in their pocket, it might encourage a certain behaviour amongst people who are not very well off. But it does nothing to prevent somebody who's earning a very, very high salary from continuing to not vaccinate their child because, you know, losing out on their child benefit probably doesn't really make all that much of a difference to their income anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And really the impact for, like, society as a whole is exactly the same. So you really need measures that are going to have exactly the same impact across the whole population. And we think that encouraging, I suppose, linking vaccination to getting entry into schools is a really good way to start. That's the policy they have in France and it's very successful.
Okay, so what you're saying is that if you want to go to a public school or a state-run school rather than any private schools, which might be around the country because they can make their own decisions, but state-run schools or childcare or to get childcare allowances or anything, that you must have your child vaccinated.
anything that receives public funding where children are going to be in contact with other children, they should have to present their certificate of vaccination when they...
As you would with a puppy if you were leaving it into a kennel, for God's sake.
Exactly. A lot of people make that point, you know, and nobody has any problem with it. But it's just, you know, it's not really reasonable to make this decision about your own child not being vaccinated and then expose a whole load of other kids who maybe because they're ill and maybe because they have low immune systems can't be vaccinated, to expose them to very dangerous illnesses.
And what do you say to those people? And I don't agree with them, you don't agree with them, and you know, you obviously feel informed and I feel informed, but there are people who are misinformed because of social media, of course, about, you know, the effects or the side effects of vaccines. Particularly we had it more recently with the HPV, where the HSE went as far as calling these people terrorists. But in the MMR vaccine case, you know, this whole idea that it's linked somewhat to autism, which it's clearly not, but there are people who are misinformed and still believe that. I mean, how do we change their minds? How do we inform them properly?
Well, I think the HSE does a very good job of actually being completely honest about the risks associated with vaccines. If you go onto the website, it says very clearly these are the possible side effects. And then it says why those side effects are much less likely than your child becoming ill if they don't get vaccinated. So there's very little medicine in the world that doesn't have potential side effects that might not potentially produce an allergic reaction in some small number of individuals. There's almost no medicine that you could say that about. But the point is that the potential dangers are so much less than the potential dangers of not using that medication, that, you know, they've done huge amounts to protect us. And I think that's what we need to start.
Well, you're right, because there's been more independent studies done into the MMR vaccine probably than any other vaccine, because, of course, the scandals, you know, of the past with Andrew Wakefield and Jenny McCarthy and other people like them.
The other point to make is that I do think, you know, if people do start spreading kind of misinformation that's dangerous, that's clearly scientifically untrue, and particularly when those people are making money off selling that information, you know, we need to take measures to prevent that from happening. And I think, you know, highlighting to people the fact that an awful lot of the people who peddle these kind of anti-vaccination rumours, they do make an awful lot of money off it. They go on speaking tours, they sell books, they have advertising on their websites. They're not kind of neutral, independent bodies. They have a stake in promoting these kinds of views. And, you know, while absolutely it's wrong that big pharmaceutical money companies make lots of profit off the kinds of research they do, it's also wrong that there are people who are able to promote these kinds of myths and make money off that.
I mean, in relation to protecting children, and this is what this is all about ultimately, it's protecting children, right, and protecting their futures. I mean, as a woman, of course, Ailish, you'd be well aware that a woman probably dies every single day in this country of cervical cancer. The HPV vaccine has been proven in Australia, where it started off, to go a long way to preventing that. Obviously not, you know, wiping it out completely, but certainly preventing that. We've had huge problems with the HPV vaccine, with lots of misinformation out there. Could you go down the same route in relation to that, a mandatory HPV vaccine? And I know they're rolling it out for boys too later on, obviously next year when the finances become available, but it is more important obviously for girls. Would you go down that route, or would you say something similar?
Yeah, I think there's, I think that the HSE has done an excellent job of reversing the downward trend in terms of HPV uptake, and we need to continue doing that. I suspect that convincing parents that this is, or becoming, making it the norm around vaccines like the MMR that have been there for generations, and that, you know, people can remember the good that they've done and what the situation was before they were introduced. Introducing kind of schemes linking those vaccinations to school admission first is probably the first step. And then, you know, you might see that kind of a policy has a knock-on effect on people's uptake of vaccinations across the board. And if not, then you can start rolling it out to other vaccinations.
But surely when we look at, say, the MMR, I mean, realistically, how many people die of measles, mumps or rubella in this country? Probably very little. A lot of people get quite sick from the outbreaks.
Because they're vaccinated.
Absolutely. But with HPV, we're seeing a serious risk to women and young girls. And, you know, that has been highlighted, particularly over the last few months with, of course, the HPV, or the, should I say, the cervical cancer scandals that we've had. So we don't want to see these young women getting death sentences or ending up having surgery at 34 or 50 years of age, you know, essentially because they have cancer cells. So would it not be more prudent to go down that route, as well as the MMR, by the way? I'm agreeing with you with the MMR, but also in relation to this, because we can clearly see from the studies that have done, and we've been given it by the Irish Cancer Society, by the HSC, that so many independent studies have been done on HPV, on Gardasil, and that the alleged claims from those people who are claiming that their children are dropping like flies, is what we were told on the air one day by one of the advocates of the No campaigners, are wrong, and that we should be protecting young girls.
Yeah, I would have no problem with that being considered as a policy. I do think there's an additional factor in relation to things like measles, because they're contagious illnesses. I guess that's the difference between cervical cancer and measles, is that...
Well, HPV is contagious, isn't it? Of course it is. It's a sexually transmitted disease.
Point. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, I'd have no problem with that also being considered. Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Ailish, we're going to have a little bit of debate in a minute, but thank you very much indeed. And by the way, I do commend you on bringing forward this motion. I think it's a great idea. All right.
Great. Thanks, Ailish.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye. All right. Keep texting 53544. That's Councillor Ailish Ryan, who has basically said that she believes the MMR vaccine should be mandatory for anybody who wants to get into the public school system. In other words, you want to bring your kid to, you know, a public creche being funded by the state or a public school, that your child must be vaccinated to protect other children who are also being funded by the state as well, by the way. Let me know what you think at 53544. She also mentioned she wouldn't rule out the idea of doing it for the HPV vaccine as well in the future too, to protect young girls. Let me know, is it a good idea? Mandatory vaccination. Stephen says already, yes, make it mandatory and take children's allowance those irresponsible parents. Well, I get the point she makes about children's allowance. That may affect some people, but it may not affect others who can afford to lose it. Let me go to Kevin. Kevin, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
Kevin, mandatory vaccination. As much as I'm very anti-vax, if you know what I mean, I do see the problem with doing it and taking away the right to choose, even if it's to make the wrong decision.
Yeah, look, if you'd have asked me this question 3 or 4 years ago, I'd have said no. You know, education. But you've had such a spike in the last 2 years.
Of measles.
I think from the difference between 2016 and 2018 is 8 times the amount of cases.
This is because social media is playing a huge role in this. But
yeah, there's 8 times the amount of cases across Europe, that, and there's been 37 deaths so far this year, as compared to what it was 2 years ago. So obviously, we're in, either education hasn't been done right, or people are just are losing faith in the state.
I think the
body.
HPV had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it does.
Because that got the whole vaccination conversation going again.
And it's easy to conflate and
absolutely
mix in the two.
Just the word vaccinations, yeah. Basically.
Unfortunately, to introduce the MMR and get a complete blanket on it, you're going to have to introduce it, and you're going to have a case, look, if you want access to state education, to GA clubs, to whatever.
Anywhere there's other children,
yeah,
basically.
You're going to have to produce your vaccination card or your exemption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because,
of course, there are young children, let's be clear about that, who can't get vaccinated
can't
for
get
medical
vaccinated,
reasons. Yeah.
And there's no problem. You say, look, here's my exemption from this. Fine, bring your kid here. Every other kid is vaccinated. Your kid is safe. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing. It's a child safety issue now.
It is a child safety issue.
When you have clusters in certain areas, like you have in Dublin at the moment, you have a cluster in Dublin, that's a group of people who decided amongst themselves not to get a vaccination during a certain year. Because I bet you a pound to a penny, the 13 cases in Dublin are in or around the same age group.
Yes.
And they're in or around the same locality. And it's probably a group of people decided, no, I'm not getting my kids vaccinated. And this is the end result. You get clusters around the country,
mm-hmm.
and out of the clusters is where you get serious brain impairment or death or very serious lifelong illnesses resulting from measles. You know, it's not a case of people get measles and they get sick for a few weeks and most people recover, but there's other implications.
There is. Brain damage is one of those.
Yeah,
yes.
There's other implications other than death.
Yes.
You know? I mean, in fairness, death is the worst case scenario, and we're already seeing that across Europe.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and if children have other underlying issues as well, it can be a huge problem for them.
It's really
What's unfortunate about it is this is that although the vaccine is a really good vaccine and works very well, and you know, and thankfully for many, many years we didn't have measles cases in this country.
Yeah.
The problem is for those kids who can't get the vaccination, they're basically treading, you know, they want to live in a society where there's a herd immunity, where where basically the virus doesn't get hold.
Exactly. I can't argue with a single word Ailey said. I can't, because it's just pure common. Unfortunately, we've ended up in this situation where mandatory vaccinations are being looked at a realistic need. It's not a choice. They need to introduce something along the lines of mandatory vaccinations, whereas before you were able to rely on parents' good common sense and judgment to say, yeah, look, there's a bigger...
So it's common sense and good judgment got out the window because the internet...
It obviously has, because from the 90s through the 2000s, there was... Everyone had, it was just common sense. You had your kids, you took them to the doctors, you went for this vaccination, that vaccination.
Well, that was because you didn't have Mary on Facebook, telling everybody that, the kid around the corner's two legs fell off when they got a vaccination. What I mean?
And when you say it out loud, you know how ridiculous you're sounding.
Yeah.
But when you read it on Facebook and you look at a glossy page that looks professional and looks legit, and you redirect it to another website who looks great, and that website has advertisers that links you off to video link. These guys must know what they're talking about. They don't. And if they do, they're trying to skim money off you.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, because Gary, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Gary? Oh, Gary, you there? For some reason, Gary can't hear me, but there you go. Some of the text coming in, somebody said, if vaccinations are so perfect, why does the English government grant exemptions for children from getting them? And why does it have a compensation scheme for children negatively affected by vaccines? I haven't heard such a one-sided debate in a long time. Well, I can answer both your questions, by the way. There's exemptions for children who can't get vaccinations. It's quite logical. The idea of the compensation schemes that have been set up both in America and some were paid out in Italy and in the UK was because these large pharmaceutical companies rather just pay people. So there's a fund set up, almost like a redress set up just to pay people, because obviously they don't want this negative news in the newspapers and more people being frightened of getting vaccines. It's quite common sense and quite logical. Sadly, there are individuals out there who go to court, take a case against a pharmaceutical company with absolutely zero evidence, and sometimes the courts will pay out. That's the sad part about it, and that has a huge effect then on society and how we feel about the safety of vaccines. Let me go to John O'D. John, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, John? John, are you there? All right, okay. I seem to have lost John. Well, hang on. I'll just try to move that over there, John. Hang on. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yeah.
Yeah. I would totally disagree as regards it being mandatory, that you have to do it, right? I listened here, they're showing there from the Workers' Party, and I don't want to bring the whole abortion thing up again, but...
Ah, stop, John.
They were part of the whole My Body,
John,
My Life.
Okay, John, we're not talking about abortion.
No, but the point I make, if you allow me to think it in, is that surely, if you believe in the My Body, My Choice, the choice of the parent to what is put into their child's body has to be their choice. Now, whether you educate them or how you do it, you certainly do not make it mandatory and dictate to your child over the head of the parent what inoculations, injections, precautions are given.
I understand the right of a parent to make a decision, but as Kevin rightly says and Ailish says, if a parent is making a bad decision, which ultimately can affect the child's health for the rest of their life, as a state... And, as a society, we have a right to intervene. For example, John, if you were feeding your child the wrong food and your child was becoming grossly obese, or you were neglecting your child and leaving them home alone at 9 years of age because you were off out to work, if you were doing any of those things, as a state and as a society, we have a right to intervene to protect that child. Is this not just the same thing?
Yeah, but you see, if you're talking about a bad diet, that can be a short term, right? That can be rectified. But if you're talking about injections...
But if it's not rectified, it can have a dreadful effect on a child's life where they end up with heart disease and all the diabetes and all sorts of things.
The point being is that it can be rectified, right? But if you get an injection, right, that's in the body for life. Now, the whole thing about it, the problem here is...
Well, it is, because it's a... Well, the injection is not in the body for life. The body builds antibodies to the injection, which is in your body for life.
The procedure that follows is that it can mean, obviously, continues on for the rest of your life. There's an immunity there, right?
Yeah, of course, which is not a bad thing, by the way.
The thing is, you see, the elephant in the room here is, right, that anybody that has popped up in any show I've ever heard and saying that they had a perfect daughter, right... Before they caught the HPV, right?
Ah, here we go.
No, please allow me to finish. No, I'm just trying to make a point.
Yeah.
The thing is that something happened then directly after.
They got ill.
What has happened is that those people are being completely sidelined. They're not listened to, and they should
Because they're wrong.
But Niall, if there's one in 10,000 or one in a million, that voice should be heard.
Okay, and the voices, and the voices were heard. People listened. Scientists went off. Independent studies were done. We did all the research. We went back to those parents and said, listen, we're sorry that your daughter or your son, well, daughter in this case, has POTS, which is POTS syndrome, which is called. But equally as many children who haven't got the vaccine also had POTS. It's not the vaccine that's doing it. It's just at that particular age, that's a particular illness that teenagers tend to get.
But
I'm sorry.
If your teenage daughter was saying, all right, if she was absolutely in perfect physical condition and mental condition.
Yeah, and then she got ill.
And she got the injection. And very shortly after that, something happened. Would you not make the connection?
No, I absolutely, of course, I would think to myself, was it the injection? But then I would read the information and go, well, actually, no, it's not. My daughter just happened to get ill.
But you see, the problem is any time that anyone questions this or any parent comes on with this, a highlighter, they're dismissed. Really,
they're not being dismissed. You see, what you're missing here is nobody's dismissing, and I didn't want to get into HPV today, but nobody's dismissing parents who are saying their children are ill. We're dismissing the fact that they're saying their children are ill because of the vaccine. That's what's being dismissed. Because it's not the vaccine.
Yeah, but
they're misinformed.
What do you do with a mother that says, like, her daughter...
Well, you just tell her she's wrong. You just tell her, I'm sorry, missus, but you're wrong. Your daughter is ill. Let's see what we can do for your daughter. Let's bring her to a doctor. Let's find out what's actually wrong with her. Let's study this POTS syndrome and find out what causes it in teenagers who've had the vaccine and who haven't had the vaccine, by the way. They also get it too. By the way, the incidence of POTS hasn't gone up since that vaccine came out. You do realise that. Children have always got it.
Yeah, but as I said, the problem is, I mean, like, that view, like, I mean, it's kind of pushed down all the time, and it should be respected and heard.
It is,
but... No, it shouldn't.
I mean, sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
I'm sorry, no, it shouldn't. You just said it there yourself. Before the vaccine came out, that syndrome was there. The number of cases hasn't increased since the vaccine's been there. So giving a voice like that, a credibility, is dangerous. And it causes the anti-vax movement to escalate to where it is today. It shouldn't be given credibility because there's no evidence for it. There really isn't. So, I mean, it's the same way that Wakefield was able to sell his rubbish about the MMR vaccine and linked it to autism. Why? Because at 2 years of age, when you start getting your MMR vaccinations, that's when autistic tendencies tend to show up in children. So it was very easy to sell the idea that one was linked to the other. And it scared the shit out of parents. And it's taken decades to recover from it in some places. So giving credibility to a notion is dangerous. I'm sorry, it just is. You know, I mean, what TB3 did was shocking.
It was probably the worst documentary I've ever seen on television.
No, I'm sorry, John. But it's just, it's dangerous, like.
So, John, he's basically saying, by giving credibility to individuals who are claiming that there's a link between the vaccine and their daughter, wrong.
No, no, I'm not saying I'm giving credibility. I'm just saying that voice, if you listen back to the transcript of this, you will realize what I have said, excuse me, that the voices should be heard, that people should be acknowledged.
But their voices have been heard, and we've said to them, we're sorry about your daughter being sick or whatever illness your daughter has contracted. But you're wrong in what you're saying, and the scaremongering that you're doing with another group of people is wrong and quite dangerous.
But shall I mean, they still have to be heard. As I said, if their daughter was perfect last week, and this week something has happened.
But I mean, look, John, I would be spending, if it was my daughter, I would be spending my time not jumping on websites pontificating about the HPV vaccine, because I know that's not the case. I would be spending my time bringing her to doctors to find out actually what's wrong with her and how can I do something, you know, to help with the symptoms.
Yeah, well, the question anyway today that has been raised...
Like, is MMR, mean, about the MMR should, vaccine.
Yeah.
Which is a safe vaccine, John.
But the question today of the topic at the start of the show was, right, should it be mandatory?
Mandatory,
no,
yes.
It should be about education, but you certainly should not make it mandatory that a parent has to do it. They should be educated, coaxed, whatever, but to make it mandatory that you have no say over the body of your child is wrong.
You don't. In the same way as if a child needed a blood transfusion and the parents objected, the state would intervene and say the child has a blood transfusion. The parents have a responsibility to their children to keep them safe. The state has a responsibility to make sure that the parents keep the children safe. And if the parents aren't doing it, the state has to step in and make sure it's done. I was all with you with education up until this year because it's clearly not worked. And I'm
agreeing, John, because you have to give your child every possibility in life, just like we do with education. If you don't educate your child, the state will step in and say, if you don't educate them, we'll put you in jail. So, and we'll force you to educate them. So you don't have a right to make those long-term decisions for your child. You never did have that right. And this is just another strand of it, so to speak.
Well, the thing is, you do have the right to come in.
You don't.
You do.
If you have a child, you have no choice in whether you send your child to school between 4 and 6 years of age. No choice. You have to do it by law. If you don't, you'll go to jail. Unless you're going to homeschool them, and then you have to be registered to do that as well.
Yeah, but we're not talking about education.
No, but what I'm saying is, the reason we do it is for the future of the child. The state has a responsibility in the constitution of this country, and never more so than it is now because we only had a referendum recently about the protection of children. The state has a responsibility to all the children of the country.
Well, the way I look at it, if you want people to keep the uptake of any vaccine, whatever, like for children, right, I mean, certainly the way not to go is to make it mandatory and almost threaten people that we're going to take the child from you and it's would going you, to be infected okay. whether you like it or not.
Would you not agree that any parent who risks not vaccinating their child, you know, if they didn't have a medical reason for doing it, not vaccinating their child either against MMR or young ladies and young girls against HPV is an idiot? Would you not agree with that statement?
But the thing is, you say, like, you must...
Well, no, I'm asking you a question. Would you agree with that statement?
No, I'm asking you a question. Like,
let me make it clear on the statement. Any parent, I'm just going to make one statement, any parent who doesn't vaccinate their child against deadly infectious diseases, which can save their lives, is an idiot. Would you agree with that statement?
But they must be asked, why are they concerned about the vaccine?
I'm asking you, are they an idiot, yes or no?
But you can't answer that. It's not as black and white as that. Ask their concerns. Why are they so concerned? And then you explain to them then. But you certainly don't make it mandatory.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, please. Stay there, John and Kevin. I'm going to go to Jack after the break. Sorry, Jack, for holding you up there. Just got a little bit over time. Niall, why don't we take the children off the alcoholics and junkies? Well, you know, I wouldn't be far off doing that too. But certainly, you know, if people are incapable of looking after their children, they should be taken off them. Certainly should be taken off junkies if the two of them are strung out of their heads and they have a young baby. Now, people are allergic to penicillin. But the penicillin thing gets my goat every single time. There are so many people in this country who go, I know, my mother told me she's allergic to penicillin, so I must be. Penicillin is a life-saving antibiotic. It's also half the price of other antibiotics that don't contain penicillin. If you claim you're allergic to penicillin, make sure you're allergic to it before you make that claim to a doctor, because eventually at some point in your life, it could save your life. So don't just think because your mother or your mother told you that you're allergic to penicillin, you actually are. You may not be. And also, the allergy to penicillin can wear off as you get older. So check again as you get older. It's quite a simple test. They just give you a little pinprick in the side of your arm. What he goes on to say, allergic to penicillin, aspirin, and any number of drugs. People are also allergic to nuts and gluten. There are people allergic to nuts. The gluten thing, unless you're celiac, you're just being a fool. All right, gluten, even celery. Of course, there will always be a small minority who will be affected by things, but we don't ban nuts, celery, bread and dispens, do we? Well, we don't. Nobody's suggesting, by the way, we ban them. And I wouldn't force people, you know, to eat nuts if they were allergic to them. So that's maybe not a fair analogy in relation to the gluten thing. Unless you're celiac and you're genuinely, you know, it genuinely has some sort of effect on you. The whole gluten-free thing at the moment, it's just a trend. It's just cool because it's been promoted by, you know, models and all sorts of carry on. Jack, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Jack?
Not too bad now. Yourself?
Jack, the measles, mumps, rubella, the MMR vaccine, which is the one we're initially talking about, although Ailish did mention HPV when I asked her as well. Do you believe they should be mandatory because you are affecting other people?
Okay. Just give a brief history, okay? The end of 92 and 93, there was a program instigated by the Department of Health, North East Housing Board, Health Board, and North Western Health Board, okay, to actually try to increase the uptake of the MMR throughout the regions, okay, and throughout the...
Yeah, the National Republic. Vaccination Program, yeah.
Correct, but there was a new immunization project, especially devised in the end of 92, start of 93, okay, which... basically ended up being cancelled.
Yeah.
And in this project, they came to realise that certain families, right, are actually genetically predisposed to allergic reactions. Now, these families can actually be shown which ones are and which ones aren't. And now, there are a minority, and when I say it's not even 1%.
Okay. 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 I don't know the details. You maybe know more about that than I do.
It's an incredibly small percentage.
Right. Okay? And when you say predisposed to side effects like what?
They're not side effects. They're actually allergic reactions.
Allergic reaction normally. A high temperature?
No, that would be called an adverse reaction. Okay. Okay. It would be a high temperature. Allergic reaction would be something permanent, which would be 90% of allergic reactions would actually be brain dysfunction, okay?
But there's no evidence of that.
Sorry, no.
Brain dysfunction suggests autism.
It's not autism.
Well, what else would brain dysfunction mean?
You're not letting me finish.
Okay, go on.
It's not autism.
Okay.
Right? It's actually a degeneration of the brain paths, which is not autism, which is totally different. It's absolutely poles apart.
But is that not what autism is? It's obviously a problem within the brain, isn't it?
Autism.
And the brain functions.
Yeah, but it's not classified as autism. Because if you could take... The basic fact about it is that what we came up with was, and it was one family, and this is how the actual breakthrough came through, that there was one family and the mother was adamant the child would get vaccinated. And the father was absolutely opposed. So the vaccination company at the time and the Northwestern Health Board came up and they said, will we just do one vaccination at a time as opposed to the 3-in-1? And we can monitor the child's function and everything at each stage. And it came out that the child, they started off with the measles because it was the one that the mother was absolutely kind of, she was absolutely in distress over in case the child got it because of the consequences of catching it and the location where she was living. So they started off with the measles and everything, and lo and behold, there was no adverse reaction. There was no allergic reaction or an adverse reaction. So they finished that, and over a five-year period, the child ended up getting the MMR, but in different cycles, with 6 months to a year between each cycle. Okay? So it came to the conclusion that the children that are less than 1% of the population that actually do suffer from chronic allergic reactions actually can actually tolerate it at an older age, but on small doses with intervals between them. So what I'm saying is that should the vaccines be mandatory? I think it should be mandatory, but we have to cater for the 1% that we can actually tell will actually have.
Okay. In relation to what you just said, the
next thing is adverse reactions. In 1993, allergic reaction was discounted. It was considered a severe adverse reaction.
Okay, okay? I'm going to read a scientific study here, okay? And it's printed paper online, okay? In modern society, a potential serious adverse event attributed to a vaccination, the MMR in brackets, is likely to be snapped up by the media, particularly newspapers and television, as it appeals to the emotions of people. The widespread news of the alleged adverse events of vaccination in brackets MMR has helped to create the urban myth that vaccine caused serious neurological disorders or any neurological disorders, and this has boosted anti-vaccination associations. The speculation. Let me just finish what I'm reading. The speculation.
I have this.
Okay. The speculation is linked to the fact that the true cause of many neurological diseases are largely unknown. The relationship between vaccinations and the most serious of neuropsychiatric diseases is certainly one of coincidence rather than causation. This is where the claim originally came from, This claim results from a controlled study that have excluded the association between vaccinations and the severe neurological disease. Therefore, it can be said with little risk of error that the association between modern vaccinations and neurological disorders is completely untrue and an urban myth.
If you can take a child...
So what you're doing is you're claiming a correlation, not a causation.
What you can say is that if you take less than 1%...
But there is no 1%. You're making that claim.
I'm not. We actually,
it's an urban myth. According to a scientifically printed study online,
it's an
urban myth.
We have less than 1% that actually get allergic reactions.
They may get it. People do get allergic reactions, but nobody has had a brain or neurological. Nobody, hang on. Nobody has had a neurological disorder from a vaccine. There's no proven case.
Yes, there is.
Well, then you're denying scientific evidence.
1 second. If you go to the case of Best, these are the severe adverse reactions, and there was the Best case, and it was against, it was based.
You're talking about a court case?
Yes, and it was in 1962, the end of 62, the child actually got it. And when it was proven,
I know the case you're talking about. They couldn't prove that it didn't cause it.
They didn't prove that it did. Do you remember the pharmaceutical company?
But hang on. They couldn't prove that it didn't cause it, but they didn't prove that it did.
That's exactly what the article is saying.
They're making an association.
No. What was wrong was that there was one contaminated batch, and that batch number had been given to the Welsh, Scottish, English, and the Irish. And they were withdrawn.
Well, that's a separate case than what I'm thinking of. All right, okay.
It was withdrawn. A large fund of money was actually the pharmaceutical.
Okay, but wait, Jack, we're going into a lot of detail here, right? The main point of what you're trying to say is that you believe there's a risk of neurological damage by taking MMR vaccines. That's the main But hang on, we can go on with all the cases and all the stuff that you're talking about, but that's the point you're trying to make. And the point you're trying
1%.
No, the point you're trying to make is, as far as the scientific studies are concerned, is an urban myth. Because the scientific studies say there has been no case of neurological damage to the use of the MMR vaccine.
And any
cases have been purely coincidental, that the child may have had underlying problems.
You don't have the proof of that.
You're making a claim without any actual evidence.
We actually do have
proof.
The Department of Health has
the
documentation.
Who's we, Jack? When you say are you representing a group?
No, I am representing myself who was a consultant in the Department of Health and a consultant in the Department of Northeastern and Northwestern Health Board.
And so you were a consultant in the Department of Health on a health board, and yet you're quoting me something which I've just read you out the reason why you're wrong. Because it says the claim results in this claim that you're making results in a controlled study that excluded the association between vaccines and severe neurological diseases.
You've got to look at it and kind of say, is there a minute risk to less than 1%?
Do you know many people have died in this world because of measles, mumps and rubella? Before we had vaccines, do you have any understanding of how many children have died?
You're promoting a risk. Sorry, no, but you're not listening to me.
I'm saying
that 99% of people should get the MMR. What I'm saying is that you can't make.
And so, how do we identify the people that don't?
How do you identify the people that don't? Well, it's very simplistic. Right?
Yeah.
They can be simply tested.
Okay. So would we test everybody?
Well, no. I'll give you an example. If your mother and your father, right, had six kids, and the six kids had the MMR, and there is no issue with them, right?
Right.
That is a significant telltale sign that your genetics is not.
So we all have to go back to our family history.
You don't have to. Well,
it's just madness. We've talked a lot about this particular thing that you're talking about, right? You have your opinion on it, and I've just recited to you a scientific study. So getting back to the original,
I'm not saying it shouldn't.
Are you saying then essentially we shouldn't have mandatory? Okay, you're saying we shouldn't have mandatory vaccinations. I am saying, and I said from the start, it should be mandatory, but there are people out there for whatever reason, and that maybe comes into your category of reasons why you can't have it, should have obviously exemptions from it, which they do in the United States and they do in Australia as well.
For the less than 1%.
Okay, so, okay, with those exemptions, with those people who might have an exemption for whatever reason, do you believe it should be mandatory?
I do believe it should be mandatory for 99% of the population.
Somebody says, not high, great show. I've never heard so much rubbish from that guy and the rubbish that he's spouting. He's talking to his you-know-what, says Esther in Galway. Now, maybe the guy has a point, but his point is just not very factually correct. Niall, it's disappointing to hear somebody who claims they work for the health service to be more or less promoting the fact that vaccines may cause some sort of brain damage when clearly they don't. Well, according to the scientific research, they don't, but he's saying that he knows of a case where it did, and maybe that's his opinion on it, and he's entitled to his opinion, although I do disagree with it inherently because I believe those types of opinions are dangerous sometimes. Hi, Niall, if today's yesterday's course has taught us anything, it's that those of us who begin their debate with "I feel" will never be swayed by the logical argument of those of us with a response with "I think" or "I believe" or "I know" or "I can prove." I weep for the future of humanity, says Richie. Richie, I just love your texts. Okay, keep going. Texting 53544. Bernie, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Bernie?
Hi, Niall. How are you today?
Good, Bernie. You're a retired nurse.
Yeah.
In what department were you? Were you nursing?
I was in head and neck and eyes.
Oh, right, okay. And did you ever administer vaccines in your life as a nurse?
I did once or twice in other situations, but right. we wasn't part of our job in the hospital setting.
Okay, but this idea, with the exception of those who can't take a vaccine, and we know there are many young people and older people who can't have a vaccine because of underlying issues, should the program be mandatory?
For the MMR, yes, at this stage, there's proof that it is working very well in the majority of cases. I was one of those sceptical parents in the 80s that was terrified of the vaccine, but I trusted in my instinct and got my kids vaccinated, and thank God they're okay. And they're now on the next generation, and they all seem to be responding well to the MMR.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my own personal proven record, and it is a scary step to take. And yes, there was lots of things out there in the 80s telling us that, oh my God, you get, this is showing that it's autistic.
Well, I remember in our day we had polio and all smallpox and all sorts of other stuff that we had to worry about too, but they're all gone, thankfully, now.
Yeah,
hopefully they won't return.
We have to trust in the people who are running our health service that they're telling us the correct information, the right information. However, I am a bit out to task on the human papillomavirus.
And why are you concerned about
that? There's different strains of it, which all can lead to some form of cervical cancer.
I think the problem with the vaccine is it's never going to be 100% successful because, as you rightly said, there are many different strains, but I believe that the vaccine does protect against the majority. Now, they've had great success in Australia where the vaccine first was released. It's now there 12 years. And they have seen massive reductions in the amount of precancerous cells, cervical cancer. I mean, so we can only look at that and lead by example, I suppose.
Well, I'm still very sceptical. There's so many strains and so many viruses and so many vaccines don't attack, they don't attach itself to all the viruses that are out there. And hence you're left with a cohort of people who are left with the virus regardless of what steps have been put in place.
But if it reduces it from 300 women dying a year to 100 women dying a year, surely that's better.
But then if you expose somebody to the virus through the HPV virus vaccine and they develop something else as a result of something that was involved in the making of the vaccine, the way there's so many components to each vaccine that is made and the batches, and you heard there about different batches that can be infected with something else. I know I'm talking big picture here, mm-hmm. but for myself...
And I understand the point you're making, and as a parent, absolutely, we all have a right to be informed and we all have a right to understand those ramifications. But my thinking on it is, if you've got, thousands, if not maybe a million women dying around the world every year, if we could reduce that figure by anything, it would be helpful. Now, there is always going to be the risk, although one of the anti-vaccine people told me that people were dropping like flies and dying, and there's not one person has died from the HPV vaccine. Not one. There was one case in America they tried to say it was, but the girl had a lot of serious underlying conditions as well.
Yeah, you see, this is it. I mean, people's immune systems are completely different to what we started out with. When we were the tough people, we were given, an Aspro out the door in the morning and you go to school. Today, our kids are completely immersed in antibiotics from an early age because we're all working.
Yeah.
We have to get the infection under control and we're not afraid to send them.
And you're right, Bernie, I don't agree with the amount of antibiotics that are, handed out and prescribed on a daily basis because we are going to become immune to them.
And the bigger picture is, are we affecting our own pair, our own natural immunity, our own children's immunity? By we have to do it, because unfortunately society says you can't send anybody out with an infection, so you have to give them the antibiotic. And you go to the GP and you put a gun to his head going, I need the antibiotic, really need it, because he was up all night screaming and roaring and croaking and wasn't breathing. So as a concerned parent, you're always going to take the extra step. And
I know, and it's a nightmare for a parent nowadays to watch their little baby being injected, and you're wondering, is everything safe? Or their little daughter at 13 years of age, is she safe? And you have a tough decision to make as a parent, but all you can do and all we can do is trust them. We have to trust them, because my daughter came home there, a couple of years ago to get the HPV. She would come home with a form. I signed it immediately, didn't even question it, signed it immediately, because I don't want my daughter to come back to me, at 34 or 35 years of age and say, I've just been diagnosed with cervical cancer and it's your fault. You know what I mean? You could have prevented that.
Yeah, but that's one aspect of it. The virus, the vaccine is one aspect. You could get it somewhere else. Unfortunately, it could be a genetic inherent component.
Absolutely. Yes, of course.
You're really only hitting one element of cervical cancer.
And let's focus on research, on looking at the other elements in the future. Absolutely. Yeah. But
should we not be educating our younger children today about
the unprotected sex?
Reality of it. It's proven. It's proven and proven, proven yet and again. There's so much sexual.
I agree with you, but we don't live in a perfect world, Bernie, where we are going to convince every 14 or 15-year-old not to be having unprotected sex.
We're not education. This thing of hiding it and weighing it doesn't happen is bullshit, because it does happen. We all know what happens. And let's be out there and honest and focused.
And I agree with you. I'm agreeing with everything you've just said, Bernie. Everything you've said. But unfortunately, we're always going to have parents who are not as good as others at guiding their children. We're always going to have children who will go a little bit rogue and, have sex at 13 or 14 or 15 years of age, unprotected sex. And hopefully, by the way, next year, if we have the finances, we're going to start protecting boys, and so we can stop the spread of HPV in the first place, to young girls who it affects most. So I think all those things are important, but the HPV vaccine is one thing that's important. There's loads of other things as well, and I agree with everything you said.
There's STDs those clinics. We should be in this. I hate breaking an innocent 12-year-old's heart going, 40, this is the real world, but you have to listen. We have to educate them. I'm sorry, but that's the way we have to go.
Okay,
multiple partners isn't really the way to go. And it's not very, at the end of the day, it's not, you hear so many people, one night stands, this, I don't know what all these things are going on out.
I know, we live in a very different world, Bernie, now than we did sort of 40 or 50 years ago. And I do appreciate that. Bernie, I've run right out of time, and I appreciate your call. And I agree with nearly 99% of what you said.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.